Welcome, everybody, to the Cat's Eye Podcast. We are back here today with a special guest. Louis, I'll let you do the honor since it's your friend and, you know, my colleague, too. So
sitting behind me, we have a 6'4 sophomore out of Gdynia, Poland. Name is Antek Anthony, Tech 94, Vorteki. There's a bunch of names this guy goes by. But the man with no vowels in his last name, Anthony Vajesht. How you going, brother?
Doing good. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
How do you say where you're from?
Gdynia.
Gdynia?
Gdynia.
What is Gdynia like?
Gdynia's, actually, that's where the, I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit. That's where the championship's taking place this summer, so I'm excited to go back home. It's right on the Baltic Sea, so it's kind of like the Galveston of Texas. It's kind of the Galveston of Texas. Just imagine it was flipped. It's on the north. It's
how,
up north.
As a Houstonian, how would you take that? Is that a compliment? Is Galveston?
What sea is it by?
The Baltic.
Is the Baltic a nice sea or is it nasty?
I mean, it's not like, it's not a great.
Like, do people swim in it or not?
Yeah, I mean, you could swim in it, but it's not like, if you're going somewhere, you're going to like,
not like
Turkey
Australia
or like Albania to swim. You're okay, not Italy.
That sounds like Galveston, so I won't be mad at that comparison at all. So
we're just going to dive in on your whole life story. So obviously, born in Poland. Yep. You spent how many years in Poland?
12.
12 years?
12 years, yeah.
And what was that like? Do you remember much?
No, I remember a lot. I mean, it's just much different, obviously. But I think, like, the biggest thing I've seen is just how, like, early you have to kind of mature. I don't know if mature is the word, but kind of take care of yourself. Just because, like, even here I'll see, like, sometimes, like, second and third graders getting dropped off by the parents of school. And, like, by that time I was already, like, taking a bus, like, 15, 20 minutes of school.
Mm.
So, like, it's just a very different, like, outlook on, like, I mean, I don't know if it's safety. I don't know if it's, like, crime, like, what it is. But, like, from, like, I left in end of fourth grade, fifth grade. And, like, I remember in, like, third grade, like, just walking to school and then being there the whole day and then hanging out with my friends the entire day and then coming back home at, like, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, normal. And I could just not see someone doing that in America.
Mm-hmm. So at this time, you were strictly, you spoke only Polish?
Only Polish, zero English. I mean, like, high bye, but that's about it.
That's really it.
Uh-huh. So you basically, say you grew up a lot of independently, you know, obviously you probably had your family around, but, you know, you did a lot of stuff on your own.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, with, you know, just hanging out and enjoying life and enjoying school at all. What was school like out there? You know, is it difficult? And, you know, I know you're in American school, but how could you maybe compare it at all?
Yeah. I mean, even like third and fourth grade, I would say it's just much, much, much harder. Mm-hmm. Just because in Poland, like, in a year, like, let's say if I stayed in Poland, I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade, I would be doing, like, 14, 15, 16 courses a year. Like, there's no, like, semesters. It's just a full year.
Uh-huh.
And, like, let's say by the time you make it to high school, you're taking, like, physics, math, sciences, and stuff, like, all in 1 year. And if you fail one of those courses, you have to redo the entire year over.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like you're redoing science. You're redoing the entire year. Uh-huh. Like, you're redoing your entire 9th grade year.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then there's no, like, midterms or anything. It's just exams, and at the end of the year, you take an exam on every single subject.
Mm. Jeez. And so, obviously, by your accent and people listening, you don't sound very Polish. So talk about, why do you sound so from up north?
So, I mean, I could also say I'm Canadian. That's where I moved when I was 12, straight from Poland. I was, just turned 12, and I moved that summer right after my birthday to Canada, Toronto, you know, the sixth god. I know you like Drake. And yeah, that's kind of when I started learning English, and at first I was terrible. In sixth grade, I was couldn't even speak to anyone, and then kind of by my seventh grade year, I was already fully talking. I had an accent, and then I kind of picked up more of a Canadian accent rather than a Polish accent by, like, my ninth grade year.
So was it hard to fit into a different culture? Obviously, the language barrier would have been a big problem. But as a kid, was that withholding your ability to, like, make friends and do all that sort of stuff?
I don't think so. I think just because, like, as a young kid with my brother, we traveled a lot. Like, we traveled the world a lot. So I think we were already used to speaking to people that, like, that we didn't have. There was a language barrier. So kind of I came to Canada and I was just Like, I was already so outgoing in Poland and, like, so, like, it's just so social out there, like, just going to school and hanging out. So, I just, and I don't really, one, I couldn't communicate for the first year. I could barely talk to people. And then, I mean, I think basketball helped me a lot just because, like, my dad would drop me off at practice and there was, like, no teacher that was nice to me or nothing. I just, like, dude, I got to talk to these kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of when I don't even really remember making that, like, big jump from, like, not speaking to speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, it was, I mean, to me, it was really easy. And basketball helped a lot because, like, you know how it is. I mean, you just go into a gym and you hang out.
Yeah. What made you and your family move from Poland all the way to Canada?
Well, my dad's always my dad lived there. I mean, he escaped Poland during communism when he was 19. And mm-hmm. he lived in Montreal for a while. And then he set up his company in Toronto when he was back and forth between Toronto and Poland. And then right at 12, he kind of wanted that stage where it's like, all right. Because my parents got divorced like 6 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, all right, we kind of want you to live with dad now and, you know, get that like male kind of whatever you want to call it, you know, into your life and learn how to be a man. And at the same time, we were just talking about that yesterday. Like when you're young, you pick up stuff much easier. So my dad was like, I mean, I want him to speak two languages fluently. And if we do it at like 15, 16, he's going to struggle to pick it up. So if he does at 12, he's going to get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the thought process behind it.
So was basketball always a heavy prevalent part of your life, or was it something you picked up when you came to Canada?
No, at all. Not at all. First was soccer, football for you, you know, the right way to say it.
Football.
Football.
No, I played that for a long time. I actually went to Germany. I was playing for the like junior team for Bayern Munich, U12.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did that for like 4 months. And then, I mean, I played on like the best club in Poland. I traveled with the national team and stuff for soccer. And then literally one day I was with my cousins. They still live in Poland. And we just went and we went to the movies that night. And then we came back to their house and we were just playing, like messing around in the backyard, just playing hoops. And I just went to my mom and I was like, I don't think I like soccer anymore. And, you know, like any kids, she was like, oh, whatever. Okay. And then like a week later, I brought it up again and again. And she was like, all right, I'll sign you up for basketball. But like, I was so good at soccer and like doing so well that like that's where my future was kind of. My parents saw my future going.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was kind of like 4 or 5 months before I came to Canada. And when I came to Canada, I completely dropped soccer and started playing basketball.
Yeah, that's that's awesome, you know, especially as a young kid, you know, being able to flip the switch and, you know, being able to say, hey, I want to play other sports and I want to try new things and not just want to play soccer and you want to get into basketball. So what was basketball like, you know, coming to Canada, being a foreigner technically and moving over there?
I don't remember much of like struggle, I would say, as in like whether it's like not even like racial but just like overall like language barrier, any of that. I mean, it was just, I don't really remember at all. I mean, mm-hmm. it was fun because my dad gave me the option, like he wanted us to come to Canada and be like, listen, you guys can move back to Poland if that's what you guys want to do. But I mean, I like basketball so much. My brother started boxing. Actually, shout out to him. He has a fight right now.
Yeah.
He's fighting right now. Yeah.
Just you, your dad, and your brother that was in Canada?
That was in Canada, okay. Yeah. And then we just loved basketball. It was good. I mean, the basketball culture, I guess, accepted me really well. And then, took it from there.
So, obviously, you come over at 12. You start to integrate into more of that Western society. So would you say your gradual rise in like prominence in basketball was, it took many years, or did you kind of explode into the scene? Explain how you started to take off in basketball in Canada, because I know you were a pretty big name growing up.
I think that kind of started like my seventh, eighth grade year, just because I kind of grew a lot and I had a really like good coaching staff around me, I guess. And Dave Tyndale, I mean, he was coaching a bunch of NBA guys at the time. Like, he comes down here all the time, trains Dylan Brooks, Nick Stauskas, Shea, like, all these dudes. And I just went to a camp, and he was there, and me and him kind of just clicked off, and he kind of became, like, my uncle, I guess, like, my big brother figure.
Mm-hmm.
And he started training me, and obviously he knew a lot of people. And then by, like, my ninth grade year, I started dunking. Then by my 10th grade year, I was, like, all over, like, on AU, on circuits and stuff like that. And I was getting kind of a lot of hype in Canada. And that's kind of when the journey continued into America.
Mm-hmm. Wasatch Academy, is that what I'm saying?
Wasatch. Yeah.
Were y'all pretty good basketball school? Or
I mean, that's one of the best, like, top prep schools in the country. Mm-hmm. I think they have like 16 from my high school only. There's like 16 guys in March Madness right now.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So Wasatch is in America. So
okay, Wasatch is in America.
You moved.
It's in Utah. So I moved from Canada. So I went from. You guys want the story?
Yeah.
Quickly. Oh. Yeah.
All right. So I went from Toronto to Ottawa, and then from Ottawa to Chicago, and from Chicago to Utah.
Oh, so Wasatch is in Utah.
It's in Utah. Okay. Yeah.
I did not. I'm thinking it's in Canada.
You heard? You know the prep schools like Montverde and stuff.
Yeah.
So we were all in one league IMG together.
That's who they play. I always wonder who IMG be playing. They be blowing people out by.
Say it with me, Jalen. Wasatch.
Wasatch. Wasatch Academy.
So yeah, no, that was a really big prep school. I mean.
So was that a big step up? Just you obviously come from, usually when you walk into the gym, into a practice, you're usually the main man. Like everyone's like, oh, that's like Anthony. He's like that. And then now you're walking into the gym, like you're playing with dudes that are projected to be lottery picks in the NBA draft.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I looked at it like that a little bit. I think from the standpoint where a lot of people were telling me like, you know, you're going into an environment with dudes that are like, I remember before I went to that school, we had a dude committed to Ohio State already. We had a dude committed to Purdue already. We had a dude committed to Washington already. And, I mean, those schools just speak for itself, you know? And I didn't, like, really understand, like, I mean, I knew college, but, like, if you told me that now, I would have been like, wow, like, I'm going to a big school. But at the time, like, I was in Canada or I was in Chicago, but it wasn't really basketball school, and I was just, no, I didn't really watch March Madness. Like, that was just kind of hooping, watching NBA, and that's it. And that's when I went there, and it was definitely, like, just, I mean, you have dudes that are, like, yeah, like you said, like, projected draft picks. So, it was, I mean, it was a crazy year.
Who's the best player you played against while you were there? You know, you said you played, IMG and Montverde, so.
The best player. I think Keontae George, like, when we played IMG.
Oh, yeah, he's nice.
Just because he was such a good scorer. But one-on-one, shout out to my boy, Willie Lightfoot. He is the best one-on-one basketball player I ever played.
Willie Lightfoot?
Willie Lightfoot.
I need to look this guy up. Louis, you know about Woodley Lightfoot?
I've heard the name. Where does he play?
He was so he had out of high school. His top three was Marquette, Alabama, and Oregon. But he had some personal stuff that happened, and then he committed to Bowling Green. And I mean, I don't know if it was the coaching change or something, but he's currently at a JUCO in Texas, I think. But he was the hardest human to ever guard.
What school was he at?
He was at Sunrise, and then came to Wasatch with me.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And then he was there for half the year at Wasatch, and he was just
He was the man.
Dude,
at Wasatch, was it kind of a moment of adversity, like a sink or swim? Like, I got to figure out how to hang with these dudes or I'm not going to make it? Or was it, how was that in terms of trying to adjust to this great level? Did that greatly help you?
I think it was just kind of like you become who you hang around. So, like, at the beginning, like, I remember in the gym every day we had, like, Texas Tech, UNLV, Ohio State. Like, all these massive schools were coming to the gym. And that's when it really hit me. Like, a month in, I was like, dude, I could go to a high major school if I really wanted to, you know? And then I had a really good first year at Wasatch. I got some, like, high majors were calling and stuff, and I was really excited. And, like, even my dad, we didn't really understand, like, how that whole process of recruiting and, like, going on visits in college works because, like, my dad doesn't know much about basketball. I mean, now he does, but earlier he didn't. And it was kind of the adversity hit the second semester when, like, you know, Geico came into talks. It's, like, the biggest national championship for high school. And that's when the adversity hit, and I was, like, started playing a little less and stuff. I was still getting, like, really good minutes and playing and stuff, but that's when it kind of went from, like, high major to mid-major for, like, looks and offers for me. But it was always there. It was kind of just for me to take it. But, I mean, it was definitely a year for me to realize how good the next level is. Because, like, these are kids going to all these schools, and, like, we would play IMG, Montverde, and we were playing, like, there's, like, eight dudes from my year in the NBA right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did your brother and your dad move with you to all these places, or you just by yourself?
No. I've been alone since I was, like, 15, 16.
How did you convince them to let you, do all this and, go travel to play basketball and pursue your dream?
I mean, my dad was just kind of always... Like, my dad left home when he was 18, like, completely flew to took a ship to a different country.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's where he understood it. And, I mean, we kind of had a talk when I was young. He's like, do you want him? And, like, what's your goal? And I was like, go to the NBA. And he was like, all right. And he kind of knew that that's the path I had to take to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mom was just, like, went with it. And my brother was all for it just because, like, he's my biggest supporter. So there was no really, like, oh, you sure you want to go? You know, like, my parents, like, wanted me to go and chase after it.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I agree with, like, you know, real testament to your parents and your family, you know, being supportive of you, because, you know, there's other guys who don't have the opportunity to pursue that dream. Their family makes them stay, and, you know, they have to live out there. But, you know, you're able to go different avenues, meet different people, get connected, and, you know, develop your game and just keep getting better.
100%.
So I admire that.
So you come to Sam, obviously, parallel to Sam, you've been playing for the junior national team, okay? So if, like, to explain it, it's in European countries and, like, back home in Australia, if you play for your national team or if you play for your country in any sport, it's, like, a huge honor. Yeah. I think Americans take that for granted a little bit.
I would agree with you.
But, like, in terms of playing for your country, what is that like? Being, obviously, you were one of the main guys in the national team, and you're planning in, when is it, July, you play for the U20 and is it the July. World Championships or the Euro?
It's Euro Championships qualifying for the World Cup.
Okay. So tell me, what's that like? Because you obviously go from playing on a Wasatch team that you're probably not the main guy, because there's a bunch of guys that just NBA draft picks, to now getting put into a team where they rely on you, the country relies on you to put up numbers and play well consistently to drag them to go to the World Championships, while all these professional teams and NBA teams are looking at international kids. What was the transition like? But what's the experience like?
It was better than I thought, just because I was a little worried, because, like, towards the end of the year at Wasatch, like, I struggled, and I knew, like you said, like, dude, in 2 months, I got to be the guy, you know? I got to be the guy that, like, when everyone in the locker room's not feeling it, I got to be the one feeling it. When we come out and there's no one in the stands, I got to be the one that's hooping, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes you forget that as being, like, a, you know, backup, or, like, you're starting, but you're not the main option. Like, you forget how much, like, either downfall or, like, uplift you get when, like, you have a good game. So it was good. I mean, it was really fun. Like, we got to travel. We went to Czech for scrimmages. Then some, like, Israel came to us and played. And then I kind of just practiced by practicing game by day. I kind of realized, like, my confidence. And I just knew, I was like, I just played literally the best players in the country in America. So, like, I know I should be killing it over here. And, I mean, the game is different, which kind of I had to adjust to, just because so many different rules and they play so different and the Falcons are so much different. But, I mean, it was definitely a really cool experience last 2 summers ago.
Yeah. You talk about the different rules and different things going on. You know, would you explain what different things that go on with, in terms of FIBA basketball and then also basketball out here, you know, from high school and college?
I would say it's just way more, like, skill and brain rather than physical and, like, jumping and everything out there. Like, there's some dudes, like, even you see Jokic, like, he doesn't look apart at all, mm-hmm. but he just reads the game so well. Like, there's kids out there that, like, a point guard or shooting guard, like, they don't look it, they don't move like it, but they just know when to, you'll be running on transition with them, and I don't know where they'll just cut you off and run into you, and there'll be a foul on you, and now they're in the bonus mm-hmm. for the next 9 minutes. So they just use, like, that to their advantage so much. And I think the shot clock was a big difference to me, because, like, here in America, it's a 30-second shot clock. You bring it over, you have, like, 22 seconds to 23 to run a play.
Oh, it's 22?
24.
24.
So then you come over, and you have, like, 17 seconds left to run a play, so you have to run good play and then get a shot.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you can run, like, 2-3 plays and get a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did playing so well, so you averaged 15.5 points per game, which in the European sense is, obviously, Americans inflate, like, with the NBA numbers because the game's so different, but, like, 15 in FIBA settings, really good.
They don't play 12 minutes either, huh? They play 10.
10. Yeah. And so you were sixth in the whole competition in scoring. What did that open any doors? Did that kind of rejuvenate you coming back into America, feeling like, hey, I know I can do this. I've shown I can do this.
Definitely. I mean, for me, it opened a lot of doors for, like, pro out in Europe. And, like, my confidence was high. I was getting texts from all these agents and stuff, but I was just kind of talking to my dad and people in my circle. I'm like, I can't text any of these people. I'm committed to a D1 school. Like, I had some people just reach out to me and be like, yo, like, he can't get in touch with you. Like, he's committed to a D1 school, you know. He's looking to go D1. And I didn't know much about, like, the pro life. Like, I could have just been like, yo, I'm not going to go to Sam. I'm going to play pro and make money out there. But obviously, I wanted to get my degree. Mm-hmm. But it opened a lot of doors for me, just, like, because I was playing versus the best players in Euro that are already playing in EuroLeague. Like, Spain had crazy dudes on Real Madrid and stuff like that. So it was really cool, like, getting to have the experience and playing in front of a bunch of scouts.
Did you have the option to play for both the Canadian and the Polish national team?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
Yeah.
What made you choose the Polish national team out of them two?
I mean, I've been in Canada for a while, and they just kind of have their group of guys that, like, they invited me. They invited me to a bunch of camps and stuff like that. But I just thought personally, like, coming from Wasatch, where I was around a bunch of really good players, and then going on another team in, like, Canada, where I maybe would have averaged 11 or 10 instead of 15. So I kind of, like, I thought the best look for me was to go and be the main guy and be, like, the star where I can really show what I'm made of. Because I wanted to, like, at Wasatch, I wasn't the guy, so I had to fit into a role. And then I wanted to go to Poland and kind of be the dude, you know, and then come back to college and being another role. You know what I mean? So I didn't want to do, like, three consecutive things of being one of the guys. I wanted to be the guy, and Poland was the perfect opportunity for me, so it worked out perfect.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. You know, Canada's got some good ball players over there too, so you definitely had you had good options either way.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, and so talk to me about your experience at SAM. Obviously, you're in your second year now. What is your experience? Obviously, you played for two head coaches. You've played with some really high level guys who are now playing professional. What's like your thoughts on SAM?
I love it. I mean, it was, I came in here as a freshman, as a young freshman. I wasn't here all summer. I mean, even for football, you know how it is. Like, I wasn't here all summer, so I kind of came in, and it was Hooten last year, and, you know, he was intense, and that's kind of when I was like, holy shit, like, dude, college is real.
Yeah.
And, a lot of growing the first year, I think, like, just the speed. Because, like, even Wasatch, like, Wasatch prepared me for college, but I mean, you can only prepare so much rather than when you're in it. So I think the defensive aspect and just the detail, like probably same in football. Like, you know, you're half a step off. And in high school, it's not that big of a deal. But here you have like eight different coaches in the gym and they're yelling at you and stuff like that. So I think that was the biggest thing to get used to. And like the last 2 years, I think, really, really helped me with that. So now I think I can really take that and bring it to Poland and kind of like show them what the highest level of basketball is in the world. And I'm not neglecting like European basketball because it's just a different style, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when I got to college too, I felt the same way. Just the speed of the game is a lot quicker. You know, it takes a minute for somebody who hadn't been playing at the speed to get used to. Just, you know, like you said, one step off, you're missing a block, missing a tackle. In your case, you know, you're getting drove by and end up on a poster.
And so how would you compare playing in two different sorts, styles? Like, would there be a main difference? Because I know we talked about it the other day, about the hand checks and how, like, if the ball's on the rim, you can hit it out.
Yeah.
Was that the biggest thing, the rule changes? Or was it more just like, hey, this dude could come down the lane and just dunk on me if he wanted to?
That's a hard question to answer because, like, when you're in it, like, when I went to Europe, you're kind of like, oh, these dudes don't look fast. Like, I could just blow by them, get to the rim. But I think they play such good team defense in Europe, and they help so well rather than – and then, like, the shot clock kind of all plays into that, like, because the rotations need to be faster because the shots – like, it's 24 seconds. So after one action, like, the defense knows that the shot's about to go up. So I think it's just different. Like in America, like I said, shot goes up, you're like, dude, I need to box someone out, or like I need to hit someone because there's a dude that's like 230 coming at me with a 40-inch vert, you know? Like in Europe, you don't really have that, you know what I mean? But then they're just way, like, if I could put it into terms, like in America, a dude's gonna jump over you and snatch the rebound. In Europe, a dude's gonna let the ball bounce and hit it off your foot and go out of bounds, you know what I mean? Like it's just they kind of just use their, like, right, they're not athletic, but they use their brain to an advantage. So that's kind of how I looked at it.
But As an international, I always want to ask this. Like, what is your biggest things you've seen in living in these different places, whether that be Utah, in Wasatch, or in Texas, or even Canada? Like, what would you say is like was a big culture shock?
A big culture shock.
Like, for me, one of the big things was, like the people just driving their big trucks, like huge, take like the whole up the whole road.
That's Texas for you.
And I'm just like, why do you need that for? Like, and even I'll see high schoolers driving. It's like, you are not a laborer. You don't, like, what are you hauling around the back of your truck that you need to your truck to be that big?
Yeah, I would just say it's a lot busier here. I went to Europe probably like 10 years ago, and I just feel like everybody's more relaxed and nobody's really stressed out.
Man, I think the biggest thing is like everyone walks a lot more in Europe. Like the public transport, but everything's in walking distance. Everything here is built. Because like I saw a funny thing the other day where you know how like the NFL stadiums, there's just like in the middle of nowhere because I have to have all these huge parking lots.
Yep.
But like back in Europe and stuff like that, all these like big stadiums are like in the middle of the city centers and it looks so pretty and stuff because there's no parking lots because everyone uses public transport and all that sort of stuff. And so it's like embedded within the city. But like you go to, what's the Golden State new
Chase Center,
like it's just like miles and miles of parking lots. And you just look at it from like a picture and it's just like, that's ugly.
Yeah, I seen that. Madison Square Garden it reminded me of that too because it was just like right by Times Square. You know,
yeah,
everybody had to walk over there.
I feel like that just, it embeds in itself in the city more and it goes with more what's going on.
Yeah.
So you have now we're giving you time to thought to think.
Do you have a thought? The what you said, walking and no sidewalks, was like the biggest for me. I remember when I was in Chicago one time and I was like, it's normal to be like, oh, let's go for a bike ride in Poland, like totally normal. Dude, I was biking. I ended up on a freeway. No, because I was like, dude, there's no sidewalk. I need to go on the road. So then I just started going up the road and I realized I was on a freeway. I was like, dude, yeah, I'm not doing this. So I think just that, and like there's no public like in Australia, you can just like, you go up to whatever, like here, oh, I got to get to the Arbors. Oh, I'll just hop on a bus. It'll take me up the road.
Yeah.
And in like Toronto, little bit, yeah, bigger cities, but like Utah didn't have that. Like outskirts of Chicago didn't have that.
Uh-huh.
Here, I don't see that at all. So
you won't find that in Huntsville, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's definitely a big culture shock.
Do you have anything else to
talk about? Oh, food also. Food, dude. It's just
food.
Just
food. No food good out there in Poland or no?
There's no flavor here in America.
No flavor in America.
Flavor.
Like here,
there's no flavor
like,
out there.
No. Yeah, like when I say flavor, I mean like you're eating a potato in Poland, like that has flavor. Like you're eating cabbage and stuff like that has like good. It's natural. It's from here. Everything's just so processed. It's just.
Yeah,
like
you don't know
if you take a trip somewhere and you eat like a cooked meal with like nice chicken, potato straight from a farm, cabbage straight from a farm, whatever, carrots and stuff like that, it just tastes so much more real than America.
Okay, I can see you saying
there's say like that. When I say flavor, I mean like the flavor is more real. Like the like definitely like the barbecue and stuff is way cooler in America. But sometimes, like, dude, I can't do the Chick-fil-A and Cane's every day.
No, that's fair. Because, like, even, like, I tend to buy berries. And so, like, I strictly only buy berries from Kroger now because, like, I tried to buy some fruit and veg from, like, Walmart when I first got here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, this is not a raspberry. Like, what is this? And so, like, now it's just, you have to be selective in, like, what you eat because there's just, like, so many chemicals and stuff. Like, it's just, honestly, that's why if you go like back into Europe and that and try all these like foods that how fresh and how like natural they are, I will say that's a very good point, Tech.
I feel like out here they make it easier to get fast food and stuff like that.
Out
there they make it a
it
lot
is
harder.
So cheap here and it's so abundant. So like I understand like why people would go get a family meal from like Cane's because it's what, $20?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were to feed a family to go to Walmart or something, you have to spend $30 and then you have to cook it and then all that sort of stuff. So it's just easier for people. Sorry to go on that rant.
No, it's all good. All right, we'll be right back on the Cat's Eye Podcast. Keep watching.
Hey, Bearcat fans, if you're looking to keep up with the Cats, be sure and head to the Apple Store and download the all-new Bearcat Sports app. It is your one place to stay in touch with Bearcat Athletics, including game recaps, highlights, and live audio streaming of Sam Houston football and basketball. It is also a spot to be able to listen to your favorite Sam Houston podcast, including BSN Extra and the new Players Only Cat's Eye podcast. Check it out in the App Store. Search for Bearcat Sports. Eat them up, Cats.
Alrighty, people, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. We're going to go over with Tech or Anthony the season.
Wait, one question before you. Tech, where did the nickname Tech come from?
That's a very good point.
Because, you know, everybody's be like, that guy Tech. I'm like, who is Tech? Like, I'm like, oh, Anthony Vishesh? That
makes more sense. At Wasatch, I always wanted a nickname, like, all through high school. And then at Wasatch, whatever, I come into the gym. It's, like, first day. My old sub was your name, Anthony, Anthony, Anthony. And then everyone's like, oh, Ant. And then one of the guys like, bro, Ant is so generic. Like, you know, let's change it up. So then that night, we're, like, with the boys back at the dorm, and we're all playing COD. And then, like, one of the guys, like, had a Tech, like, a Tech 9. And they're like, oh, like, let's just call him Tech, you know? Ant Tech, because that's my Polish name. Ant Tech.
Ant Tech.
And they didn't just want to call me Ant, so then Tech came in, and then I was in the gym, and I had a really good shooting day next day. And they're like, oh, just call him Tech 9. And then at Wasatch, our coach made us pick up 94 feet, so then he was like, oh, Tech 94. And then it kind of, like, stayed with Tech 9.
Okay,
so
I like Tech. How did that get over here, though? You were like, hey, guys,
I just came in, I was like, oh, my nickname's Tech. And then Mudge started calling me Tech. Who never called me Tech ever in my life? It was straight Anthony, but it would be everyone. Miss Michelle, the trainer, like, everyone. Like,
yeah.
Coach Trevor up at the weight, everyone called me Tech. Except Hooten.
It probably took me like a month or two to realize his name was actually Anthony.
Tech it off.
Everyone kept just saying it. Like, now my even professors say Tech to me. Sometimes I hear Anthony, I'm like, oh, dude, what? So it's Tech.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you can ask the question now. I always wanted to
know. That is a fair point, because probably people listening in this podcast, like, what are they
who's
talking
Anthony
about?
Who's Anthony and who's Tech?
What are your thoughts on this? Give a quick overall on your thoughts on the season this year.
It was definitely went how, I mean, it didn't go how I was thinking it was going to go. I would say that way. I would say for the team, like, we started off a little shaky, you know, first year head coach. A lot of people were doubting us. And, you know, I thought we were going to have a good year, you know, come into conference, finish strong and stuff like that, pick it up in conference. But, I mean, I didn't think we were going to do what we did. I mean, as the year obviously went on, I was building the confidence and I could see it. Because, like, sometimes, even probably in football, like, you're there around the guys every day at practice, so you don't really see that growth as in, like, looking from an outsider. Because, like, we're in practice every day. I'm like, oh, like, I mean, our practices look better, but I don't see the massive difference. You know what I mean? And, like, as an outsider, you're just watching games. You're like, oh, they're losing. Oh, they're winning. You know, that's kind of the only thing you look at. And I think in conference, practices got shorter. We started practicing much better. We started winning. And you know how it is. Coach is more happy when you win. Assistants are more happy.
Everybody's
when you
happy.
Win. Everyone's
when
you're more happy. Yeah.
Everyone loves a winner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what it was for us. We picked up that, like, winning, confident wave, and I think Mudge did a good job at just staying positive the whole year. So, I would say, very interesting.
I would just say definitely there was time, you know, it could have turned, because I think y'all were 8-9 at one point or something like that, or 8-8. You know, y'all 500. You know, but then y'all rallied. Y'all won the conference. Y'all won every home game.
Yeah,
in the conference.
It's a funny because it's like we started, like you said, non-conference. We weren't very good. And I think it was a mixture of a new, like a first-year head coach. I think it was like we had a bunch of new dudes in here trying to figure out your role, like trying to figure out a system. And I think it was kind of like we had some growing pains.
Mm-hmm,
and that was very – it showed. Like we would – when we would play teams at our level or below us, we would tend to play our role. It would tend to influence the game of how we want to play, which is we want to, like, pressure you, get in the gaps, and, like, run.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we played teams with quality, like, it was kind of we felt out of our depth, and we kind of, I don't know, not that we felt hopeless, but I feel like we kind of, there wasn't that self-belief that I think you could attest to, that last year you guys came into every game and it showed that you guys were able to beat everyone.
Yeah.
And so it was evident because, like, I remember Arizona State. I remember vividly, like, they did not want to play. They weren't ready. They didn't want to play. But we came out and we were timid and we ended up losing by 30 or something. And it's a game. If we played Arizona State again, I think we'd beat.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting. And then we come back and then our last game of non-conference was Texas Tech, and that was a terrible game for us. We were
smacked by 40, and then it was just kind of like.
And then when we came, but it's weird because we just came back from break. And then practices were a little bit better. Like a few tweaks happened, nothing crazy. And then we beat La Tech, who we didn't know when we played them how good they were going to be and that we were going to fight for them for the top place. And then we just got one led to two led to three
led to four.
Yeah.
And then obviously then we had a couple like bumps along the road, but like it's weird. I think it was more mental than anything. Like tactical change. I think we just came at them. We're like, well, we're going to play how we want to play. And like, if you don't like it, like try beat us kind of thing.
Yeah, something I really admire about basketball and also baseball too. You know, just when you say, y'all lost to Tech by almost 40. You know, you gotta got a game in 2 or 3 days. You know, you gotta reset your mind. You know, you gotta throw that out and then you gotta get back to playing basketball. You know, football, you know, you get blown out, you got a whole week to think about it. You're like, damn, we don't play for another week. Like, no.
Would you say that kind of happened with you guys? Because you guys started off really bad. And then by the end of the year, you won like your 4 of the last 5 or 3 of the last, like something like that?
I just think the confidence never wavered. You know, like even though we lost, you know, we were like, okay, we got to get back to work. We got another game in a week. So it's like, we can't just sit here and dwell on a loss. Like, you know, we got to play again. And the next team's trying to beat us just as bad. You know, they see we lost by, 20, 30. They're like, okay, we can beat this team by 20, 30. This team is weak. So I definitely agree with that. And, you know, it does show y'all's resilience, you know, being able to bounce back after the tough non-conference and win the conference. You know, 11-3 in conference, you know, that's not easy to do, especially your first year with a new head coach and all that. So I thought it was a successful year. Obviously, it didn't end as successful as we wanted and a little bit disappointing. How do y'all feel about, you know, teams who win the conference but don't win the conference tournament? You know, I think it's fair for them not to make
it. Well, it's because this year so many, first seeds in conferences, especially because if you're not in the Power Five conference, it's a one bid league.
Yeah.
So you have to win your conference tournament. So it's basically where a lot of teams, because I remember so we lost, number one, Richmond lost their conference. I'm trying to think, Eastern Washington lost Indiana the Big Sky, State. Indiana State lost their
Missouri
conference,
Valley.
Missouri Valley. So these bunch, like pretty much all these top mid majors, there's only one or two that actually were the one seed that won.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows how close these conferences are, how it's kind of anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah.
And I would say it's just like, I wouldn't say we peaked at the wrong time, but we won like 9 in a row to finish the year.
Uh-huh.
8 in a row. And it's like, I mean, you're bound to lose one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think we should have lost to UTEP. I don't think they had a better game plan than us or anything, but we just, that was the game that we slipped up. We had 8 where we were ready for, and that was the game where we slipped up. Just how you see 8 seeds winning, they go into the tournament like, well, we're all here now. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things where it's like, in hindsight, obviously you don't want to lose any games. Every game you want to win.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, now that the season's done, I wish we would have lost a game closer to the end of the year. Obviously, I wish we beat La Tech so we would finish regular seasons. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I felt like it would have been more helpful because then it would have got us back on that straight narrow. Okay, we can still lose. Like, we got to lock in. Yeah. And then I think we came in and FIU, obviously we beat them. We lost the first time at their place, but I think that was just because we were just all over the place. That was a bunch of stuff that happened that we weren't ready to play. And then we came back the second time we played them and we beat them up. We beat them by 30. So we're coming in. We kind of thought, okay, like, let's go out, handle business, and we'll be fine. And that's what happened. We came out, handled business, won, 20, 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a day off, and then we came to UTEP. Mind you, we swept UTEP on the road and at home. We knew they were a good team, but we kind of knew, okay, like, it's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be low scoring, but if we just play hard and all that stuff, we should get the job done. Yeah. And I think that was kind of the one. They are a tricky team because they came in hot. They came in playing some of the best basketball all year.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, we came in, we couldn't shoot free throws. We were missing a lot of shots we would normally make. And obviously, you know, it's kind of March where if you lose, you go home. So now it starts to creep in your mind that, oh, like this is not no, oh, we'll come back next week and, you know, we'll get up. Like if you lose, like all this hard work's gone.
Yeah.
I felt like that pressure that you start to see in the March Madness is start to creep. And then I think, honestly, like, I think UTEP just wanted it more than us. They were just diving on balls. They're putting their bodies on the line. They were playing like they had nothing to lose, and we were playing like we had everything to lose.
Yeah.
And I think, like, in that situation, it tends to go to that team that wants it more, and I think that's what happened. So
yeah, definitely, it's a snowball effect, you know.
For sure,
momentum, it just goes. I saw the first half. I was flying back from Arizona. I saw the first half and y'all are up, and then you know I went to halftime and I was like, okay, hopefully they win by the time I land everything. And I saw y'all lost.
Yeah,
and I seen y'all struggle from the free throw line pretty bad, and you only hit what I'm looking right now, 2 threes.
Yeah, we were like 13, 14 minutes left in the game. We were up by 14.
Uh huh.
So it wasn't like it was a slugfest the whole time. We had a couple stretches where we played our way, and then it's just kind of like we call it winning time. Mm-hmm. Is what we call it, where it's just like it's do or die. And they just came out and they just made plays after plays, and it was just kind of like.
And then it was kind of just too late. too late to slow
and then,
down.
And then momentum, it's a game of momentum and a game of runs, and they just went on a run. But it's less than that they came and just like scored every time. They were just locking up. They were just playing like just so hard. So like it's kind of one of those things where it's just like coulda, woulda, shoulda. They wanted it more than us. We had every chance to win the game. We didn't. That's on us.
Yeah, definitely. And ultimately, they didn't win the conference tournament. Western Kentucky did. How do you think they'll do in the tournament? I forgot. Let me see who they're playing.
Marquette.
Yeah, they're playing Marquette.
I think they could beat Marquette. I mean, they're good. I feel like going into the tournament, I was telling the guys like they're the ones that could like win it just because, or they could. They're the ones that could
dark horse.
Like, yeah, they could make some noise.
They could make some noise, and I mean that's what happened. We beat them twice, but every game was tough. And I mean they're just very talented. They have some really good big men, high major transfers. So,
but they got a lot of depth.
It is what it is. Yeah, I mean that's the team getting talked about now, and I think that's what sucks about like the tournament is. I mean, everyone was talking about Sam Houston when we were winning. Mm-hmm. We won the championship. We got a ring. Nobody cares.
Yeah, man, it'd have been awesome to see y'all in the March Madness right now. You know, but definitely I want to say congratulations to you, both of y'all and y'all's whole team winning the regular season tournament or regular season conference. You know, that's still important. Appreciate as well. It. Obviously, you didn't make March Madness, but that's definitely a big step with our first year in Conference USA, showing people that, you know, we can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. 100%. And I mean, it shows that we've got the ability, both coaches and players-wise, to stack up. And I mean, but also, on the other hand, it's a double-edged sword and shows that how any team can win on any given night.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of March Madness, both you guys make a bracket at all? Or
no? I did not.
I made one or two.
Never made a bracket.
Never like at all.
But I'm a big guy that like I don't like making brackets because then it jinxes. I just like to watch and see how it plays out. So like even now, like BYU the sixth seed BYU lost to Duquesne just then. Arizona's up big against Long Beach State, which is expected.
Creighton just beat Akron 77-60.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, even like, we were talking about last night, so Grambling beat Montana State, right? Mm-hmm. Montana State was, I think, a 7th or 8th seed in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
They were not very good this year. Grambling, we played Grambling.
Yeah, y'all beat them early in the
we
year.
We beat them by 20. We beat them down. Like, they like... Yeah, see, Colin just showed us there's already 11% of brackets have remained perfect.
You know who's a part of that 11%?
Yeah.
Me. I'm still there. I'm still fighting.
We'll check in next time to see if it's still the case. But it was kind of, it's just so weird because it's just like we play Grambling. And like, would you agree, Tech? Like, when we play Grambling, they weren't very good.
Yeah, that's kind of the talk we just had. I mean, that's why I don't want to like talk bad about anyone because we were saying, like, what does Texas think? Texas Tech think about us. They beat us by 40.
Yeah.
And then we go on to win Conference USA. So are they sitting there like, yo, is Conference USA terrible? You know?
Yeah.
And we beat they just looked so bad. But at the same time, like if I rewatched the Texas Tech game, we were getting blocked left and right, threes. So I mean, I think it's just maybe they peaked at the right time.
Yeah, they came into the SWAC and just damn near swept the SWAC, came out, and they're just hooping.
I think they were
right
like
now.
13-2 or something.
They looked good last night.
They did look very good last night.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, it's just the beauty of March. Like it's.
And I think the biggest thing that I was thinking about that a lot of people like don't realize is just, like maybe at the time, like their two best guys were struggling in their head and they were playing bad. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a quarterback and your best receiver is like in their own head, like, outside, you know what I'm saying? They're in there and they're not making plays and stuff like that. They're not cutting routes how they're supposed to. But then, like, 2-3 months go by and they, like, snap into how they're supposed to be playing. Like, you're like, oh, the team's playing so well. That But I feel like sometimes it's like the dudes personally just fix something they have to, you know what I mean? So I'm saying, like, on our team, like, dudes weren't hitting shots. Dudes weren't doing that. They just were struggling at the beginning of the year. Like, they didn't believe in their shot. And then, year goes on, 3 months later, they're shooting 40% from three, you know?
Yeah. You got to find that groove. And, you know, once you start playing well, you know, I think that you continue to play well and it just keeps adding on.
So what are some of the teams that you have making a Cinderella
run? Some of my dark horses, I actually had Charleston beating Alabama, and I also had Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's.
Okay. I disagree on both because, I mean, I don't know basketball. Like, I'm not a guru, right? But, I mean, Charleston and Alabama. I love Charleston because one of my friends plays for Charleston. He's the starting point guard.
And you don't believe in them to beat Alabama?
But they're both very high-scoring offenses, and it's going to be just a game of just shooting, and I think Alabama is too high-paced. I mean, I'm very interested to see GCU because that's another team we did play, and we both sat at GCU and was like, geez, these guys are good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, their best player out. You know, he averaged 24 in the WAC.
24?
Ooh. 24 in college. Like anything.
But I mean, he was a 5-star. Went to Kansas his freshman year. So, and then he had some health.
Can you check that? Check that. Ty Grant Foster on Grand Canyon.
Ty Grant. You looking it up, Louis?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean,
that's what I heard. Don't quote me on it.
They play St. Mary's too, and I like St. Mary's.
I like St. Mary's as well. Average 26 and 20 and 6.
Someone said 24.
20 and 6. That's still good numbers though. That's a top 8 to 10 score.
And so I mean,
Someone told me 24.
Maybe in conference.
Maybe in conference.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, check conference play.
And so South Carolina and Oregon had started. How about Oregon, eh?
Yeah, they looked awesome during the Pac-12 tournament. You know, like you said, man, teams just get hot during the conference tournaments, and you know, they'd be like, oh my gosh, like this team is scary. Even with that Midwest region, you know, they got UConn in there, FAU who made the Final Four last year, San Diego State made the Final Four last year. They've got Auburn who won the SEC. They've got Illinois who won the Big Ten. They've got Iowa State who won the Big 12. So they got six, 7 teams that
out of everyone. I don't know. Everyone's saying UConn. I don't think they're gonna win it.
I think
a team that will win it this year is Iowa State.
Iowa State. Well, they have to go.
They showed it versus Houston. Houston's the number one defense in the country, and they beat them by 20. Houston.
I like North Carolina.
I just don't know if you can keep up that pace, like how physical and like demanding they play.
Yeah.
Like 6 games straight versus really like, I mean, they showed in the Big 12 they could do it. But, I mean, I don't know if you could do it after a full season and then March Madness. I don't know. I think they could slip up somewhere near the final.
Yeah, and they are very guard-reliant, which is, you know, but Louis said that, you know, guards carry you in the tournament, but you can't – I feel like you can't be over guard-reliant, have your guards to score all the time.
Yeah.
One of my brackets, I had them losing to A&M in the second round.
Really?
Yeah.
You a multi-bracket type of guy?
Yeah, I made 5.
No, so you just kind of covering no bases.
I made 5, but I have like one that's like, okay, this is my baby here. Like, I'm going to monitor this one. But I make a couple just.
A&M, that's a very good point. I think A&M could give them problems because they A&M, still look, they can offensive still look rebound. They,
yeah. Yeah.
They play hard.
My dark horses, I have.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. James Madison.
I think they'll win 1 or 2 games. I don't think they'll make a run.
They've got Wisconsin the first
game. I think Dayton. I think Clemson or New Mexico. I think both of them. Mind you, Clemson plays New Mexico first round. So I think one of them will make a run. I think maybe everyone is hyping up. Who plays at Kansas? The team, number one mid-major.
McNeese.
I think they lose first round.
They play Gonzaga. That's a bad, like, that's just tough. Like,
it's a bad matchup.
I like Gonzaga and I like McNeese.
I think Bucky Bull and Samford will beat Kansas first round, especially with Kevin McCullough being out. But I mean, because I played my freshman year, I played in the SoCon against Bucky and Samford, and
they got some boys.
We done boys.
Samford is where at?
Samford's in Alabama.
Okay.
So there, and they kind of swept through the SoCon this year. But I think it's just great because it's just like all these teams, so many big teams lose, and it's just a fun time for basketball, in my opinion.
How do y'all feel about Tennessee? Y'all think they're legit at all? You know, they're very reliant on Connect, which is like one big thing, but do you think they're a good squad?
I mean, they are really good, but they tend to show that sometimes they don't show up when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah, so. Especially the SEC tournament. And
I think it's just whoever has the deepest bench. March Madness.
But this year shows how, like, so many – because there's, like, outside of UConn, there's not been really a team that's, like, this team is so good. Everyone's beating everyone at all levels.
I think with the NIL and transfer portal, you know, people have been saying this, you know, talent is all the way spread across in basketball. You know, there's so many talented players and teams and coaches everywhere that, you know, it kind of makes it even. But I kind of like it like this. There's a lot of parity. I think there's more parity. You know, a lot of teams can come out of nowhere, and different teams can rally. Who would you have for your Final Four?
I think I would have North Carolina in there. I think maybe a Iowa State could get in. An Auburn could get in. Maybe a San Diego State or a UAB. I think maybe like a James Madison, a Florida could get in. I like a Samford run. I like a Colorado State run.
You're naming every team.
I'm just talking about runs. Who are the? I haven't made a bracket though, so
who are the four you think could think?
I would say because usually it's very rare to have more than 2 1 seeds in the final four.
I
would have North Carolina and probably UConn, and then or maybe Iowa State, and then I would have like Samford.
Do out of this, huh?
I'm saying, y'all not talking about the Boilermakers?
Boilermakers have been terrible the last few years in the NCAA tournament.
That means they're going to do better this year. They lost to 16 seed last year.
They were meant to win with Carson Edwards. They didn't win. They were meant to win last year. They didn't win. Every year they expect to do big things. They never produce.
Yeah, Tech. My parents went to Purdue, so I'm a big Purdue fan.
Oh, yeah?
I watched all those games in heartbreak. You know, 2019 when we were up to... It was a jump ball. They get the jump ball, throw the ball to Diakite. He hits a floater to send us overtime, and we lose to Virginia.
Last year was bad.
Yeah, last year was bad. Year before that, we lost to St. Peter's. How do we sweep St. Peter's in Sweet 16 with Jaden Ivey? Year before that, we lose to North Texas, man. So Matt Painter has disappointed me. I hope he doesn't disappoint me again because he's a really good coach. But, in the tournament, he turns into Mark Few.
Quickly, one of the last things I want to mention in this segment is, did you hear the story about Wagner?
Wagner.
So they play UNC right now. They're a 16th seed.
Okay.
So they haven't played, they haven't scrimmaged live since mid-December because they've had so many guys hurt. So they pretty much, in all of conference, they've played with 7 guys. And so they came into the conference tournament as the 6th seed and they ended up winning the whole thing with 7 guys, right?
Uh-huh.
And they haven't scrimmaged since mid-December and they've gone through and now they're playing UNC and that, they're losing by 10 right now, but... They are holding up. Imagine 7 guys.
Yeah. So many impressive stories. I don't know if you saw about the Long Beach State coach. He got fired.
Yeah, he got fired.
And then they won the conference tournament. I'm like, that's dang, crazy. I bet the ADs are sick right now. We're going to have to re-sign him once he goes to Elite Eight.
It's a magical time of year. Anyway, we've got one more segment, so stick with us, and we'll be back after the break.
Hey, Bearcat fans, if you're looking to keep up with the Cats, be sure and head to the Apple Store and download the all-new Bearcat Sports app. It is your one place to stay in touch with Bearcat Athletics, including game recaps, highlights, and live audio streaming of Sam Houston football and basketball. It is also a spot to be able to listen to your favorite Sam Houston podcast, including BSN Extra and the new Players Only Cat's Eye podcast. Check it out in the App Store. Search for Bearcat Sports. Eat them up, cats.
Welcome back to the Cat's Eye Podcast, segment 3 here, and we kind of got some bittersweet news. My co-host and our special guest today, and they both officially entered the portal the other day, and, it's bittersweet. I wish them the best with their next endeavors, but, I'm glad for the time they spend here, So, guys, what about the portal, and, how'd you guys come to a decision and get to this point where you feel like the best thing for you is to move on?
Kind of towards the end of the season, I didn't want to think about it too much, but kind of just came to the point where I was like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, I have a huge opportunity in Poland, and I wouldn't really want to come back to a place where, that opportunity to be one of the main guys isn't there, and, going, be all over the radar all summer, and then kind of come back and get off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I looked at it, and I talked to the coach, and he completely understood it, and, the whole coaching staff's still respectful. I'm working out with them. They made it, a little film for me so I could show it to other coaches and stuff, so it went smoother than I thought. The respect is still there, and, at the end of the day, I think, the coaches understand it's business, just how, when we're playing, they're recruiting, just how when we're done playing, we transfer,
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be one of those guys that, just hits the portal right away after a bad year or anything. A lot of it's on me. But, I just think opportunity-wise and style of play and stuff, I just think it's best for me to go to a different school.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome that the coaches, are being there for you. And, obviously, like you said, it is a business. And so, you have to look at what's best for you and your future in terms of playing your career. So that's good that they, take care of you. Our coaches try to do that a lot as well, And, make the highlight tape and they'll send it out to people.
Yep.
And I think that's good. And I appreciate them doing that.
Yep, for sure.
Man.
Hey, okay. No, I didn't want to hear this.
I know. It is a shame. The pod has been great to me. But yeah, no, it's kind of, I got one more year. I'm graduating this year, and I have plans and playing professionally afterwards. And so I feel like there's a better opportunity to go play, like you said, my style of play and be able to have more film to show these professional teams to pick me up. That's the biggest thing. And I mean, like Tech said, I love Mudge. I love the little wizard. I love him. He's a great guy. And so he totally understood it, and he was nothing but supportive about it. I wish I had more eligibility so I could stay here. But I mean, it's kind of like Sam doesn't line up in my long-term goals, as sad as that sounds. So I got to kind of do what's best for me and my future and my potential to be a professional after. And it goes back to what he says, like the style of play. We play a very non-European international way for the most part, especially on defense. And so it's kind of like if we both want to go play in Europe, so we want to be as enticing and worth picking up to these scouts. So it's kind of one of the ways where we can help produce our stock, kind of thing. So
yeah, how does the transfer process and portal all that? How does that work out in basketball? You know, I know in football, you know, there's like a small transfer window that you can transfer. Yeah. You know, it's usually right after the season, and then right after spring ball. You know, you see a lot of guys transfer. You know, depending on their situation and got going on. So do you know how the schedule at all works for basketball? You know.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just, as soon as season ends and you know you're not in any tournaments after the season, you just go to the compliance. I mean, you have your meeting with coach, you go to the compliance office, and then the same thing as you guys, but I think the window for us is just longer.
We have about 45 days.
Okay, we have about 45 days, and yeah, same as you guys. You hit the portal, and then you're in a few hours, and different coaches start hitting you up and stuff, and then I think there's one more, right? There's like
I think there's a smaller, yeah, in a couple months, so closer to summer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talk about you going back overseas to play during the summer. You know, how say you committed to a school, how would that work out? You would probably go there after you went back home first, and then come back to your school.
Yeah. So I mean, like the school that I'll be going to, I'm gonna tell them obviously. Like, and if they don't align with that, then I wouldn't go there obviously. So like, I would only go to a school that's like really, like, pro me going to Europe, and like they love Europeans, you know, and like love the style there and stuff like that. So I'd only go to a school that would like be like, yeah, yeah, go play for your national team, and then be back in like end of July, you know,
yeah,
type thing. So
I think that's fair. You know, I feel like everybody should be supportive of somebody playing for their country, you know.
Yeah,
like you said, that is a high honor for anybody to be one of the top for basketball, what, top 15 players, you know, in their country, be out there hooping for them. So that's really awesome.
I mean, I became everything I swore I wouldn't become, huh?
Yeah.
All the portal talk we had this year.
Yeah, but, man, I know. Either what did Harvey Dent say? Either you die here or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's an interesting landscape, because it's like a bit of a free for all. Like, even we've been in it 3 days, and it's just a dog fest of all sorts of people from all walks of life, all places in the country, trying to talk to you, trying to sweet talk you and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of like you're back in that recruiting part again, and you're like, can I please have some time alone, please? So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree. But, you know, I like I said, I'm happy for both of you guys. You know, you guys deserve more than what you're going to get. And I know whatever school is going to pick you all up, you're going to do great things over there and continue to grow and pursue y'all's career.
Yep, appreciate it.
Hopefully y'all stay in touch with me. Hopefully y'all don't go ghost on me now.
For sure. Maybe get brought on as a special guest sometime, huh?
No, for real. I'll be watching the Polish team play. I'll be like, man, I did a podcast with him.
Appreciate it.
I did an interview with him.
So quickly, how does that like work? What's going on with the Polish?
So fly out June. We have camp for 5 weeks. We go between the city we play in and then another city like an hour away from Gdynia. And then we go back and forth. We practice a week here and then a week there. A week here and a week there. And then we're going to fly out to Spain, to scrimmage Spain, just to get ready. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back. Two teams are going to come to us somewhere else, like Sweden or who knows, Czech, whatever. And then, yeah, and after that 5 weeks of kind of getting ready, mid-July, the championship starts, and you have your brackets. We got a really tough bracket. We got France and Serbia and Greece. Mm-hmm. Play your brackets. You make it out of that, and then you play for top four. And if you make top four, you go to the World Cup.
Realistically, what's your prediction for that?
We make it out of our bracket. I think we could definitely upset Serbia. Top two, yeah. I hope. I mean, we're going to upset Serbia. France is I mean, they're like projected to win the whole thing with Spain, so it's going to be tough. But I think, I mean, we're at home. We're going to have a full crowd of like 6,000 people, so that's going to really help us. And I think we can make some noise. I mean, France, Turkey, and Spain are really the only like really France and Turkey are like really big and skilled. Mm-hmm. And then like France is just really athletic, and Spain is just, I mean, they've been a dominant powerhouse in Europe. So I think if we can kind of avoid those three teams somewhere in there after the bracket's done, I think we can win. I mean, not win, but I think we could crack top four.
You said this is
U20,
right?
U20, okay. Yeah.
So just people that are 20 and under can play.
20 and under, yeah.
I saw Victor Wembanyama's little brother. He looks just crazy. He looks just like, I'm like, oh, that's
he's
crazy.
Next up. It is
that's
crazy.
Nasty.
It's crazy. Yeah. I was supposed to play him in U18.
Really?
He was supposed to play U18, and then he was like, he came out of it last minute because he said he didn't want to get injured, and the like NBA scouts told him not to. Mm. But yeah, I was going to play him.
What are some of the players you've come across? Any NBA guys
in Europe?
Yeah.
I played the kid on France. What's his name?
The guy that went to Australia?
No, he played with Wemby on the same team in France. He was on that team, and now he's in.
Oh, the little guard. Plays. Yeah, I know who's talking.
He's in Charlotte,
maybe.
You looking it up.
Him. Who else is there?
When he gets drafted.
Mostly NBA guys with Wemby.
Wemby. So last
year. I think most NBA guys was definitely at Wasatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played Keontae George, Grady Dick, Derek Whitehead. What other? Who else is in the NBA from that league? There's like two or three more.
You saw Grady's jersey swap? that had me crying.
Was it Bilal Koulibaly?
Yeah, him.
He went seventh.
Seventh to Charlotte?
To Pacers.
Oh.
Oh, no, he got drafted. He got traded to Washington.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know anybody on the Wizards right now anyway.
Jordan Poole.
Advia's hooping.
He is tough.
Corey Kisper. That's what. Okay, yeah, I lied.
Kuzma.
Yeah, I know four. I don't know if I can name five.
But yeah, so that's obviously a huge opportunity. It could be huge. I mean, obviously you want to do well for your country, put on for your country, but obviously in terms of personal, it could open a lot of doorways. So hopefully we'll be trying to watch every game. So good luck with everything. Huh?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, fellas.
Yeah, best of luck. Do you want to shout out your Instagram, social medias at all? You know, maybe get a follow or two.
Yeah, give me a follow on Anthony Vzesch. _4.
Good luck spelling.
How do you spell
that?
Luck spelling
you might
that.
Have
to spell that, but it's okay.
WRZESZCZ. You might have to slow that down. And yeah, Instagram where I'm kind of where I hang out at. So yeah, just give me a follow. And
yeah. As much of a shame as it obviously to no longer be your teammate, I feel like you've got a huge future in Europe, and I think everyone should start, you know, locking in on you and watching you. I think you have a big career and a successful career. So
thank you, Louis.
Good luck with everything.
Appreciate that. Yep. Same with you. I hope the next school that gets you and you dominate.
For sure.
And then Jalen,
I'll keep holding it down over here.
Hope you can
hold
the
it down.
Big gap and just knock somebody's head.
Hey, yeah.
Hey.
Just hold it down. Hold
it down. Yeah, the linebacker core looks pretty good this year. Right? They had the Nixon, the Isaiah we had on the podcast.
Isaiah,
they have him as the sixth best linebacker in Texas in college.
He's nice. He's gonna have a good year.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
believe in him. And no, we got a new linebacker. We got a whole new defensive staff, but you know they've been preaching some good stuff, so we're excited.
Good.
For
good,
sure.
Good.
Yeah,
when does spring ball start?
We started on Tuesday. We were supposed to practice today, but they canceled it because of the weather. So I guess
spring ball's like starting.
Yeah. It's time.
So when do you have the orange and white game?
April 20th, I think. So
sorry to make this pod longer, but would you say like, dude, transfer after spring ball because it's kind of like, dude, I'm not getting any rips in that practice.
Yeah.
Like, this is the QB that's going to start over me or, like, play over me. Like, this guy, I'm three people behind. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, definitely. They start to see, like, where the depth is, you know, who the projected starters. And we have exit interviews after spring ball, too. And so the coaches kind of let you know, like, hey, we see you competing for a spot or we can see you just being a scout team guy. So, you know, if people don't like what they have to hear, then, you know, they
make business decisions.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But we'll definitely be at the spring game. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
to watch
cool.
some football.
It's nice because spring ball, how it is right now, it's going to lead up right until the end of school. So, you know, just got to grind through these next couple weeks.
That's for sure.
Yep.
That's
yep.
for sure. But appreciate you, Tech, for coming on and sharing your
Thank
story.
You guys.
You're a super interesting guy, and you've had a lot going on in your life. So I hope everyone that's listening enjoys his story.
Yep. Thank you, Matt. Have a good one.
Yep,
yeah. Anything else to say?
Continue the Cat's Eye podcast. We still got some episodes coming out. I know Louie leaving, but I'm gonna get another episode or two out of him before.
For sure, we're pumping them out. That's for sure. We're with it all. all the way through. So anyway, thank you guys for listening to us. We'll hopefully be back next week with another episode. So once again, catch you later. Take it easy.
Peace. And,
see ya.
The Cat's Eye Podcast is recorded in the BSN studios at the Wood Forest Bank Athletic Center. Today's episode was written by Lewis Rowe and Jalen Phillips. This episode is produced by Jason Barfield. All music is courtesy ScottHolmesMusic.com. This has been a presentation of the Bearcat Sports Network.